I bless the Lord. Well, thank you, brother, for those songs and that testimony. That's mighty sweet. And thank the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Lord, thank you for being good to us. Lord, I pray you'd strengthen and stir and bless and help your people tonight. Lord, thank you for Brother Sharp and thank you for this flock. Lord God, thank you for this meeting. Thank you for this church that's been here. Lord, I pray that you'd walk with us through these next 2 nights, these last 2 nights. And Lord, pour out, open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all the Lord's people said, amen. Amen. Well, let's take your Bibles and go to Exodus 12 tonight. Hadn't the Lord been really good to us? Thank the Lord. I want to talk about a baptism if the Lord will help me. We're old-timey Baptists and we don't even know what it is. We stop at water baptism, tell everybody it's a symbolic of something, but don't know what it's symbolic of. If the Lord will help me for a little while, I want to talk about that, that Jordan River. Well, it's good to see the Lord's people here tonight. Thank you, friends of ours from different churches. I want to introduce the Lord. Just so happened we got several of our missionaries here tonight. Brother Tom Reese is back here, pastors up in the mountains on the side of a hill. You can't come in the front of his church. You'll run right down the hill like a creek, and you can't go out the back. You'll fall down a cliff. We work our way around and come in the side. But he's helped us with our missions, him and his church up there. And what exit are you on 75? 34. Yeah, Carryville. That beautiful lake and that hill. It's good to see you tonight. And he's helped our missions, and we've got some here. Brother Johnson, would you stand for just a moment? He got caught in that rainstorm. In parts of Knoxville, Noah's Ark went by tonight. I was going to get out there and kayak, but I was afraid I'd miss the service. And I've never been in a kayak, so, you know, that too. But Brother Johnson is recently surrendered. You know, I told you, what night did I tell you that God gave me a full-time helper, field director for World Harvest Baptist Missions? I didn't know he was going to be here till an hour ago. And so that's him from Spartanburg, South Carolina. Thank you. It was amazing. I talked about my Jubilee year a little bit, Brother Johnson. One night, preached about it and took everybody to England, the land of our heritage. And I told you when I laid down, surrendered to lay down my work this year, that God picked up his work. Amen. Well, I got 2 amens there. I was looking for a little more. I said, when I laid down what I was doing, because he told me to, you should have seen how he picked up what he was doing. Amen. And within 48 hours, God gave me Oliver B. Green's tent and gave me a full-time helper with our World Harvest Baptist Missions. And I needed it desperately. And that's Brother Johnson. And when he surrendered, I told you the story the other night, within 24 hours, somebody gave him a big old GMC SUV. A pastor down the road. Give him a big old GMC. And it's just amazing. If you'll give what God says, he'll open up the windows of heaven. Pour you out a blessing. We got Brother Shane Buck. Stand up, Brother Buck. He's from Jamestown, Tennessee. He's one of our home missionaries. And he has been preaching in the county jails. And his goal, both these men need monthly support. You ought to support them monthly on your own. Don't wait on your church. Some of your churches ain't never going to do nothing. Whoops, did I say that out loud? That's what me and my wife do, and we do things with the church, through the church, and we also send out checks on our own. And Brother Buck has a goal of being in 20 county jails. Is that right? Is it 20? 20 surround the 20 surrounding counties. And to be in 20 surrounding county jails and have that ministry. Thank you, Brother Buck, for being here. And we have some good friends with us, too, going into Asia. And we are live streaming, is that right? And so I can't talk about it. But we have a brother going to Asia. Some of those countries are closed. And we've got to keep it on the lowdown. And we're excited. Brother Matthews, would you stand? And he's got some of his family with him. He's got some sick family. And one girl's watching another girl. And this girl knows she's getting all the ice cream tonight. But Brother Matthews pastored many years in the state of Kansas. It's Kansas, wasn't it? And gave all that up and felt the call of God. And he's heading over to Asia. And I'm excited about him going. And they're good friends of ours. He's been helping some of our missionaries because he's got a lot of experience and wisdom after pastoring some years. And so we're glad they're there tonight. Now, I probably have other friends that are here, and I'm overlooking them because I've only got three friends. You got to be real nice to them. And or you'll just have two friends. Pretty excited last night about Brother Travis. He surrendered to go back into manual labor. Told me last night that for 7 years he set up tents. And he done made the mistake of telling me that he'll help me put up that tent. And me and Brother Matthews put up a little funeral home tent at the Redfield. Or he did, and I supervised for 10 minutes. They brought out the sledgehammers, and I went to get everybody Diet Cokes. But Brother Travis said, I've put up them tents, and started telling me what the center poles and quarter poles and whatever else you said. And he said, I'll come help you. And so I'm pretty excited. God's putting things together all over the place. What he's got in mind is always bigger than what we've got in mind. And I bless the Lord for it. Would y'all like to stand for a moment? I don't always do that. If you'll bring me that water, Brother Johnson, I left it over there. We'll ask the Lord to bless us. I want to talk about this just for a little bit. Some of you have been around, and this would not be the first time you've been in these scriptures with me. But the Word of God, if amazing grace is good every Sunday, so is the Word of God. Yes. And I make no apologies for hanging around a piece of Scripture. And every time you go into it, it's just as good. Yes. Pork chops and pinto beans are good every night. Amen. Right past your line of vision is your cousin, uncle, brother Rusty back there. When I said pork chops, he lit up. Sorry, Brother Rusty, at least once a service, I got to pick on you. And thank the Lord, the Word of God is good. And we need what the Lord has in here. Exodus 12 and 13 and 14 will be our text. There's some good stuff in 15 and 16 and 17. But if the Lord will help us, I'm going to read chapter 12 and verse 7, where it said, And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat of it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. You can be seated. Go on down and underline verse 13, where he said in the middle of that verse, And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Amen. Now I'm interested in the Lord helping us tonight, and I'm not sure what direction to go. I feel good in my soul, but I can't settle on a sermon. So I'm going to preach a little while until we find the message. How does that sound, everybody? Well, in Exodus 11, I noticed as I opened this that he said in verse 1, "Yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt, and after it he'll let you go." And I want to say that today I've had a burden for the nations and had a prayer for the nations. And I want to say something to you, brethren. We might be in that one last plague before all this stuff wraps up. All right, four of you agreed with that. I'm going to run it by you again, give you a chance to prove you're not kin to Episcopalians or Methodists. If your grandma's a Presbyterian, you should have got over it by now. So let's try that again. We might have one last chance before this thing wraps up. The Lord's given one final call. I believe that we're in a midnight hour. That's verse 4. He said, "About midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt should die." And he said in there that, verse 6, "There shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it anymore." What a great cry that night, all them firstborns. And not just their firstborn son, but every animal and everything in the kingdom that was firstborn was judged that night. But look what he said in verse 7. "But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast." That's interesting, a little bit of symbology. I think I just made up a word. A little bit of symbology for you here. Isn't it interesting that he said in the midnight hour, "I'll protect you from the dogs"? And that's a Bible term for sodomites. I need to get a little help right here. Got news for you. That's a demon-possessed reprobate outfit. And y'all are surrounded by devils. There are creatures walking around where you live right here. And I'll add, the entire nation's eat up with demons. But you're right here next to a secular university, and they're all the same across America. It's strongholds in high places. Y'all ain't helping me. More witches and more dogs and sodomites in our university campuses. And isn't that something in this hour that God can protect me and you from the dogs? I promise you they'd kill us before midnight if they had permission. You better believe there's more than hatred in their heart. There's a murderous hatred in their heart. But Brother Josh, thank God, he said there's a great darkness in that camp of the Egyptians, but there was a light over there in the camp of the Israelites. I'm glad I'm in the right camp tonight. They had the Lamb in that camp. They had the light in that camp. They had the Lord in that camp. Now that's a that a dog won't be able to move his tongue, that ye may know how the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Well, there is a difference. And I want to say tonight, you're going to see a great divide on Judgment Day. The sheep and the goats, that business is coming too. And brother, in that hour, the tares and the wheat. I want to say to you, let's just stick with the old time stuff. Well, how do we get Americans into church? You ain't going to get Americans into church. You're going to get Christians into church. And all of them that ain't Christians, we'll find them a mega church here in a little bit. Let's just go ahead and call it a mega gathering. Amen. The reason they quit calling themselves Baptist is they ain't been baptized by the Spirit of God. The reason they quit calling themselves a church is they finally got honest. The vineyard, the gathering, the point, the horizon, the view, the ridge. Thank you for abstracting yourself. Amen. We knew that's what you was the whole time. Yeah. Can I get a witness right there? Amen. Brother, I got news for you. Thank God every once in a while there will be a drawing power and we have compelled them to come in. I believe the Spirit of God has a compelling ministry. I believe the saints of God have a compelling ministry. Go out and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. And the Spirit and the bride right there at the end of Revelation. The Spirit and the bride say, come. If you ain't saying come, you ain't in the bride. Oh, talk to me now. There ain't no gray area in that King James Bible. There's gray area all over our silly churches, but not in that King James Bible. The Spirit and the bride say come. If you hadn't said come to somebody lately, come to Christ, then you're just not in the bride. Or you forgot you were espoused. And the Spirit and the bride say come. There will be no Holy Ghost power on our churches till we get back to the Great Commission. Told the pastor last week, one eye on the field and one eye on the flock. That's the ministry you're called to. A lot of our old-timey churches in the South, we got a burden for the flock and nothing else. And then a lot of these guys down the road trying to be bigger than the other guy down the road, they got an eye on the field. And some of them have a sincere eye on the field, but they forgot that there is a flock. They don't even know how to have a church. They don't even know what a church is. Oh, dear neighbor, I'm glad the Spirit and the bride say come. You ever get them two together, you're going to see sinners getting saved. You ever get a church with the Holy Ghost on it and he's saying come. And then that church is saying, y'all come. Amen. Guess what? They'll come. Amen. The Spirit and the bride. That great cry. We'll talk about it for just a moment. See where the Lord's burden is tonight. The Spirit and the bride say come. And there's a great cry. Brother, I wasn't there that night. Would you like to have been there and heard that cry? We're going to hear a cry. We're going to hear a cry one day at the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment. And there in the book of Revelation, is it chapter, the end of chapter 20. And just like John, God gave him a high perch. And he looked down and he saw. He said, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. I'm going to comment right there. You be real careful, these Calvinists. They love social media. I'm going to tell you what Calvinists do. They do the same thing contemporaries do. They quote men. And they quote each other. But they don't quote the Bible. Y'all ain't helping me. If a Calvinist quotes the Bible, he's got to take you to an original word somewhere and put a change on it. Y'all ain't helping me. Any doctrine requires you to change a word in the King James Bible is a bad doctrine. All right, he said, I saw the dead. See, now Calvinist, first thing they say, well, a dead man can't do anything. Well, I'm sorry, but you must have missed that Bible reading that time in your life when you're supposed to read your Bible. Well, that's predestination election, because you had nothing to do with it. No choice, your will was not involved. There and that, a dead man can't do nothing for himself. Well, that works for you if you work at the funeral house. But I read my Bible. There's the dead. They're standing before God. A dead man can stand up. He can stand before God. A dead man can stand before God in judgment. A dead man can stand before God. And if the dead can stand dead, every way you can be dead. They're dead physically. They're dead spiritually. And there they are standing before God. Listen to him as he brings them under judgment. Luke 15. That son was dead. This my son was dead. And he's alive again. Well, while he is dead over there, he repented. He rehearsed a prayer in his heart. He regretted all of his living. He returned. He ran to the Father. And by the way, if y'all quit bailing out all your youngins, they might learn a lesson and grow up. The Father did not go after the prodigal. The Father never went after that prodigal. Honey, when you go out on your own, you got to come back on your own. You know who he went out for? He went out for the son that never left. That boy was out on the front porch with a lot of internal issues. Some anger, some arrogance, some resentment. A lot of problems on that front, but it never left the Father. It never left the field. And amen, everybody else was in that house, in that celebration with the prodigal. But the son was on the outside. And I tell you who the father went out for. He went out for the one that never left out. Amen. Oh, y'all ain't helping me. I heard a man preach last year, Brother Sharp. Amazing. I've never seen anything like it. Not quite like that. There wasn't a dry eye in the place. We were down in, over in Mississippi. Just across the Alabama line where the Red Bay area is. And there is a man that had a prodigal son. I mean a bad prodigal. I think the boy is 22 years old. Was a preacher. And then just took a turn. Ended up going, well, he ended up making the wrong friends. There's all the young people listening. Ended up making the wrong friends. Then he ended up making wrong choices. Then he ended up drinking. Then he ended up really messed up in his head. And I was in service that night. Well, this man had another son who'd made some good choices and stayed with his daddy and stayed with his church, stayed with his Savior. Is anybody listening? And I was in meeting that night, and that pastor got up. And a lot of, he was a well-loved man in Mississippi. And there was probably 40 preachers there, and everybody knew about his son, had been praying for him. And he got up that night, and he said, I'm going to preach on the out of the prodigal chapter, Luke 15. And we all thought he was going to share his heart and maybe share a message about his prodigal. But his good son was there that night, and he said, I'm not preaching about the son that left. He said, if y'all don't mind, just let me preach to my boy that stayed. And he preached four thoughts. He preached right to his son. Oh, you should have heard him challenge the one that stayed. Woo! I can't take you back into that service. But oh, how he challenged that boy, how he exhorted that boy, how he encouraged the one that stayed. Oh, my. Oh, my. Yeah. This my son was dead. You go to Luke 16. There's a man that died every way you could. The rich man's in hell. I'm just rebuking Calvinism for a minute. It's had a great resurgence in our Southern Baptist churches. Knoxville's got enough powerful Southern Baptist churches. They're going to be eat up with it. Y'all are so soft soap, soft skin this hour that you're getting along with way too many liberals. Y'all got to talk to me. We're about to lose Knoxville like we are every other southern city. You done got so much compromise in your own home, compromise in your own churches, that you're getting along with every stinking liberal that's flushing our Bible down the toilet, flushing our children down the toilet, flushing our churches down the toilet, and y'all are all getting along with your relatives who just say, you ought to be nice. I'm still looking for the verse of ignore everything and just be nice. I can't even find it in the originals. That wouldn't have worked when Jesus made that whip. He didn't lose his temper. He threw it at him. He never got out of control. He didn't lose his temper. But he deliberately let it go into full flame. The Bible said, be ye angry. What happened to some of y'all can't get angry about anything anymore except things that hurt your little feelings? He kicked that table over there, the money changers, made him a whip. It was premeditated. This is a premeditated temper throw. He threw it at him. Can I get a witness in here? I'm dealing with Calvinism. You know why the Southern Baptists are having a great resurgence of Calvinism? Because some of them are saved and they're sick of the worldliness in their churches. And they ain't got enough. How can I say this? I need to say this right. They're not going to actually pay the price by actually preaching on sin in their congregations because they know they'll be out of a church in 2 weeks. So they pull up this big battle that they fight that God's sovereign and God this and God that, and they think they're taking a stand, and it ain't the stand they need to be taking. Y'all ain't helping me. Our independent Baptist church, they're either going Calvinist, Because they ain't got no Holy Ghost and they got to be obsessed with something. They ain't got enough Holy Ghost to do the work of the ministry. Or they're going contemporary. Our independent boys are either going Calvinist or going contemporary. Y'all ain't helping me. Where we need to go is the Great Commission. Need to go to our altars and need to go to their front porches. Need to give the gospel to our neighbors and give the gospel to the nations. Well, that rich man's in hell, Brother Sharp, and you know what he did. He's having a prayer meeting that we need to be having tonight. He dead. He'll be forever dead. And he was hollering for help. He was praying for his relatives to get saved. Turns out a dead man can do a lot of things if you'll read your Bible. Somebody needs to get back to the Word of God. Somebody needs to get back to the Word of God. A great cry. I'm in chapter 11, verse 6. I've had a strange burden all day. There shall be a great cry where God perched John to stand up there and look and look upon that judgment. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Another book was open, the book of life. They were judged according to their works. Why were they judged according to their works? I'll tell you what I think. They wasn't judged for their sins. They were judged for their works. I don't know how to tell you this, but their sins had already been judged at Calvary. Yes, but when you reject the offering made for your sin, when you reject the finished work of Christ, then all you got left is your works. I probably agree with D.L. Moody on this point. Men go to hell not because of the sin issue, but because of the Son issue. Amen. Your sins were dealt with. If you'll accept it, He can give you forgiveness. Amen. But brother, what He cannot, will not do is let you reject the Lord Jesus Christ and then march into heaven. Yes. Amen. And I believe where John was positioned, looking down on that, John was up there in a high place. If I could get up there, I would. And he looked down. It's a picture of when the bride will be looking down at all the lost and unsaved when they're tossed into the lake of fire. I got an old country uncle preached on a place worse than hell. Sin and death and hell cast into the lake of fire. I don't know where that lake is. I've got two or three notions. But I got news for you. There will be a lake of fire, and that lake may not even exist right now. It may be after he burns some things down, there will be a great lake of fire. Oh, I got news for you. Death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. And you and I will look upon those who are lost without Christ as they're tossed into the lake of fire. I got news for you. We ought to get sanctified. This life is too short for you to live in sin. Young people, in just a minute, you'll be at halftime, and if you've lived in sin, you'll spend the second half regretting it. You'll spend the second half trying to correct it. You'll spend the second half weeping over it. God is merciful. God does give second chances. Amen. There are deathbed salvations. But oh, dear neighbor, you do not want everything that comes with that. Amen. Life's too short for us to live in sin. Life's too short for us to live for ourselves. It's too short to live for yourself. Recent days, there's a message brewing in me. It hadn't come forth yet. It kind of did, Brother Tommy. And I was in Athens, Tennessee 2 weeks ago. It came up one night, but I hadn't. You was at teen camp when I mentioned about Esther. And that king had that golden scepter raised. King had that scepter. Old Haman had done made a conspiracy to kill all the Jews.
Yes.
I want to stop and make a little 10-second announcement. Jesus is coming back.
Yes, man.
He's going to secretly whisk away the church.
Amen.
And then he's going to publicly come and gather up the Jews. You might want to get on the right side of things. We got into that last night. I mean, there's a lot you could say about the big blonde-haired fella. There's a lot you could say about him. But honey, when he moved that thing to Jerusalem and stood with the Jews, you better watch out. Him and the Lord are making friends. Oh, my. And that other bunch of anti-Semites, got bad news for them. Got bad news for them. The little bug-eyed one from New York. Yesterday, she's telling all them Palestinians that they ought to riot against Israel. Got bad news for the little black-haired, bug-eyed thing. Everybody, whoever came against the Jews, honey, ended up in hell.
Amen.
Haman had that conspiracy to kill the Jews. But God had done traded out. He done traded out a Gentile bride and brought in a Jewish bride. Oh, y'all ain't helping me. Woo! I feel so good I may jog with you tomorrow. Me and James both going, and Brother Tim too. We're going, and Rusty, you're in. We're jogging with you tomorrow. I ain't jogging with you. Jog 3.5 miles. That's a halfway through the tribulation. I am not jogging with you. Every time that 3.5 pops up in the Bible, it's bad. Of course, you got to come back 3.5, right?
Yep.
So that's 7. No, you're 3.5. I tried to bail you out. Oh, I got Haman done said, let's kill all these Jews. Watch this, Book of Esther. I'm talking about living for yourself. There's going to be a great cry one day. I'd hate to be up here looking down there. And they turn around and look at me and say, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you compel me? I hope that they can look up there and say, you told me. You told me. I'll be glad in that day that I tried to be a faithful preacher of the gospel.
Amen.
Not a hireling, not a halfway. Not we'll drop our Bible, we'll drop our Baptist, we'll drop the sign, we'll drop our dress standards, we'll drop our music standards, we'll drop all of our standards and make y'all like church. We'll just make it not church anymore. Oh, I want to be standing up there with them faithful preachers saying we didn't, we waved the banner high, you just wouldn't follow it. Esther! I got some men that helped me study. One of our preachers, he said, I said, fellas, what is this typology in Esther? Somebody help me. One brother been studying that thing a long time. He come back and said, this one of the only times in the Bible where you see the Gentile bride is pulled out of the picture and replaced with a Jewish bride. Wow! With a surprised emoji face. Trying. Your Bible's full of illustrations where the Jews were replaced with the Gentiles, the church. Oh, come on. Y'all been around some preaching? All our life we've grown up thanking God that Ruth was brought in. Rahab was brought in. Joseph was given a Gentile bride. Come on, people. We've shouted all of our life, thank God. The little woman said, truth, Lord, I know I'm not a Jew, but the dogs eat the crumbs. He said, they sure do. Here's a whole cake for you. Come on now. I've grown up shouting over the fact, thank God, when the Jews rejected him and wouldn't obey him, he brought in a Gentile bride. This is one of the rare places in Scripture you'll see the end of the church age. A conspiracy to kill the Jews And a Gentile bride wouldn't obey the king and let the nation see her beauty. Now, I don't think he was bringing her out to do anything vulgar. Just wanted the queen to come and be a nice host, and she was a beautiful queen. I tell y'all, when I went to England early in the year and I saw the queen, hugged her neck. Not really, but in my mind it all happened. Think about this, you preachers and you Bible students. One of the only places in your Bible where we see the end of the... But watch this, I'm going to say this, and if y'all don't make me preach it to you. Get it while I'm saying it. There's probably some soul choirs nearby. We can go get one. They know how to act in church. Y'all supposed to be running ahead of me, and there ain't no big floppy hats, but y'all should have wore one. Woo! Mm-hmm. You wear a good enough floppy hat, you nod your head, and it's worth three amens. Oh, yes. White people can't jump, neither can they shout. Watch this. In the book of Esther, a Gentile bride was disobedient to the king and would not show her beauty to all the visiting nations. And so she was replaced with a Jewish bride. Don't make me preach that to you now. And can't you see that? The hour we live, the churches are disappearing. Preachers are compromising. Churches are being replaced with vineyards and views and horizons and points. Go to church and get a star book. You used to go to the church and gaze at the morning star. Now you got to look at star books. And by the way, that's an ancient Babylonian queen on their little thing, that woman with her stuff standing there looking at you. Plus, I don't have $6 for Starbucks. I'm going to McDonald's. Tell them I'm a senior and get the discount. And they don't realize when I get around the corner, it's too late for them. They just don't go to the trouble to fix it. I'm only 50, but I've been in the ministry since I was 21. 1 year in the ministry is like 7 years of life. I am a senior. My body is baptized. I'm a senior. The church refuses to show the nations her glory and her beauty in this hour. Disobedient to the king. And so the Lord is going to replace her with a little Jewish bride who has 7 maidens helping her. Oh, I know I'm not in Esther, or y'all ain't, but I am. He had 7 friends sitting with him. There's 7 chamberlains with the king, 7 maidens with her, 7 days of a feast. 7 times a proclamation. You go look at how many 7, 7, 7, 7 is in Esther chapter 1. Come on, second coming people. Half of y'all go to Brother Lawson's. You ought to know the second coming, but you've already lived through it 3 times. Come on now. 7, 7, 7, 7. That's Revelations. It's right there in Esther. When a disobedient Gentile bride refuses to obey her king and show her glory to the nations. I want to stop and say thank God for the glorious church.
Amen.
I want to go to church where her glory. Oh, Brother Sharp, y'all get an A+ on what I'm fixing to say. There are no pictures. There are no statues in here.
Amen.
Pictures of people. We're a Baptist church. There ain't no statues of saints in here.
Amen.
There ain't no images of Jesus.
Amen.
Look around you. It's plain. It's neat. It's simple. You don't know why. All them other religions got to get beautiful cathedrals because that's the only beauty they have to offer. We were told to stay away from all of that. And that tabernacle is supposed to just be badger skins, not attractive to this world. All of our treasures are hid. Read your Bible. But when you get in and no windows, you're okay to have windows. But that tabernacle had no windows. The only light would come from that candlelight. By the way, that fire was lit by God. The Lord came in there and she kind of glowed and he lit every bit of it. And all they had to do was keep the oil running to it. Yes. That's what me and the pastor's trying to do this week. Keep the oil running in here so your fire can burn.
Amen.
Oh, I saw something yesterday. You'll write a song about this, brother. That touched my heart about you, 13-year-old. You and the Lord got something in common. That may be why your voice is so beautiful. I can sing real pretty too, but I've had allergies for 30 years. Nobody's really can hear it, appreciate it. That oil. I was watching Perry Stone. Don't be telling folk. He's my neighbor in Cleveland, Tennessee. He's charismatic. But he loves prophecy. And he loves going to Israel and studying. And I was watching him. Y'all don't be telling people. This live streaming, good night. How do you edit? Yesterday. And he brought out one of them oil lamps. He said, he's teaching on the 10 virgins. I seen Brother Sammy Allen 3 weeks ago at a youth camp. And he called me over. And he said, dang, dang. Them ten, not hello, how are you, good to see you. Dang, come here. Dang, those 10 virgins. That can't be the rapture. That's the end of the tribulation. I'd already know that because I've been under good teaching. Yes, sir, there's only one. They won't be 10. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. Perry Stone held out a lamp. He was in the Antiquities Museum in Jerusalem next to the temple. And he showed an oil lamp. Brother Sharp. It had one, this big old lamp. Kind of flat bowl-like. One thing where you poured the oil in. And 9 little holes. And that's where wicks were placed. They'd soak up the oil and that's where they'd burn. 9. That was supposed to fire you up. That's the number of the Holy Spirit. There's 9 gifts of the Spirit. There's 9 things mentioned in the fruit of the Spirit. Abraham was 99 and Sarah was 90 when life was brought forth. The 9th book of the Old Testament is Ruth. Number of the Holy Spirit, the fruit. I tore that place up. I apologize for rejoicing with a charismatic, but I went ahead and shouted anyway. I didn't speak in tongues. Almost did. 9. I couldn't believe that. And he went right by it. I'm going to have to call him and teach him something. He went right by it. He said 9. Oh, there's Esther. And she'd soaked for 6 months in oil and soaked for 6 months in myrrh. She'd been soaking so she could be brought into the presence of the king. And when she got brought in, Mordecai was her uncle and had a chapter. Haman was large and in charge, had the keys to the city. Mordecai is sitting over there almost like Lazarus, begging on the corner, nearly. Mordecai heard wind of this. Was her uncle. Mordecai said, Esther, he called her over and he gave her a strong talking to. He said, you're in a prime position to save our people. Who knows whether you've been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. And then he said, and then she said, you tell everybody to fast and pray for 3 days and 3 nights. She brought the resurrection in on it. Fast and pray. And then he said, then he scolded her. And she wasn't rebellious, but she got chewed out anyway. How many of y'all feel like that when you go to church? We'll do the right thing. Well, you may get chewed out anyway. Kind of like tonight. But he gave her a strong token. He said, and by the way, you could go in there and just take care of yourself because the king loves you. You could save your own hide and let your people go. Let them go off into extinction. He said, but I want you to know something. If you do that, you and your father's house will be destroyed. And God will save his people. He'll just do it with somebody else. An enlargement and deliverance shall arise from another place. I got news for y'all. I'm a little gospel preacher. In 2019, we're at the end of the church age. The Gentile bride is being switched out for the Jewish bride. But I'm a volunteer. You don't have to use somebody else. I mean, I hope you do, but you can use me if you want to. He said, you can try to take care of yourself in this hour. Or you can let God use you. Everybody go to Esther 4. Turns out the night when I announced Exodus, I really was trying to say Exeter. But y'all missed it. Go to Esther 4. We started out with that great cry. Let's go see what Esther says. Does anybody remember where that is in the Bible? Let's see. I'm in the Old Testament. I know that's right. Ezra, Nehemiah. Does anybody remember where Ezra is? There's Samuel. There's Kings. Which way should I go? Oh, then you go back. Huh? Where is it? Well, I don't know where Nehemiah is. Oh, after Chronicles? Well, that'll help me. How y'all feel about an evangelist who don't know where Esther is? All God's treasures are hid. There's Ezra. That's getting warm. There's Nehemiah. Oh, there's Esther. There's Esther. Oh, my. By the way, y'all in Esther? I am now. How about chapter 1? How about verse 13? Then the king said to the wise men, which knew the times. Oh, y'all ain't helping me. Woo, did you see that, Brother Johnson? These wise men that knew the times, Brother Wally, when Jesus was born.
Amen.
Here's wise men at the end of the church age who know the times. And Brother Sharp, back up one verse, and that's where Queen Vashti, does it say refused?
Yes.
The church, she's in great rebellion in this hour. Yes, but in the next verse, there's wise men who know the times. And when them wise men came in the Gospels, that meant Jesus fixing to show up. They were following the signs in the heavens. They were following that sign, and when the wise men came, well, who knew? There's wise men in the book of Esther who knew the times. And a Gentile bride, the church, is being switched out for a Jewish bride. Oh, is that meaning anything to anybody? I watched Fox News this morning because I'm a Baptist. And they're even going liberal on us, ain't they? Stinking outfit. Can't even watch Andy Griffith no more. Nobody on that's married. You ever seen that? Nobody is married in Andy Griffith. I was pro Mayberry all these years until I realized they're anti-marriage. Aunt B. Nobody's married. The barber. Andy. This has nothing to do with the sermon. It's just I'm upset about it. I think the only one who married was the drunk. He was married and he had to drink the whole time. Y'all leave that alone. Mayberry's not scriptural. Can't watch Andy Griffith or Fox News. Look at her. I'm in Esther. Took me a while, but I'm there. I'm in chapter 4, verse 14. Pardon me. I won't blow my nose. Pardon me. Look in chapter 4, verse 14. Well, he wondered in verse 13. Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house. Can I talk to some of y'all about something? You're sitting in the king's house. You're in the throne room. You've been in the Lord's family. And I'm afraid you don't care about anybody but yourself. Don't think you're going to get away with that. You and your family will be destroyed. Look at it. Chapter 4, verse 13. Now verse 14. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. How many churches, how many preachers do we know that are being destroyed across our country? Because they've made it about themselves. I'm telling you, that's why the Southern Baptists are turning to Calvinism. They can't go contemporary. They're already more liberal than the contemporary. They'd have to come back a little to get contemporary. And that's why they're all searching for something, because their churches are dying. Yeah. For this reason. They made it all about themselves. Let me tell you something. If you're willing to split a church, if you're willing to attack a preacher, I'm going to go ahead and vote with you're not saved. Amen. That's extreme. You can't know about somebody's salvation. I got a Bible. Amen. There are a lot of strong verses in there. If there's a spirit in you where you can split churches, attack preachers, and be a troublemaker more than once, maybe one time you just got sideways and get right with God. But when it's a pattern, I'm going with you're not saved. There are 10 million steeples in the South, and only about 100 of them are churches that God started. I'm being symbolic with those numbers. But I got news for you. I live in the South. I minister in the South. If there's something in you where you can split a church and attack a preacher, and you don't care that you hurt Christians, you don't care that you hurt churches, you don't care you hurt the preacher's children, you don't care that you hurt God's children, I'm voting with, they've never been saved. There's an indwelling Holy Spirit that does not allow sheep to act like goats. There's a little flock down by my house, Brother Wally. Kind of scares me. The Lord put it there a year ago. I think he's talking to me, and I'm nervous. And I've been watching that flock. I've been taking notes on my way to Hardee's every morning. When I'm home, I'm good to my wife. Before the sun comes up, I bring her a butter biscuit and a Diet Coke. That's on the food chain somewhere, that pyramid. My pyramid, I just doused it with Diet Coke, so my pyramid works. I ain't jogging with you, 3.5. I'm over here. How many miles you jog?
3.
About 3. James, Tim, Rusty, we're calling it off. These are tribulation men. I'll see y'all at Hardee's. See you at Hardee's. They'll be jogging back. And they're going to say, but we're going to live longer. And we're going to be like, yeah, not that much longer. I go by that little flock. I've been watching them for a year. Number one, I'm amazed how much bigger they got. I keep seeing babies. Lambs. I remember an old preacher told me one time, said, if you'll just leave sheep alone, sheep will do what sheep do, and there'll be more of them. Yep. J. Do you know if we just let the love of God run through here, there'd be more of us?
Amen. Yes.
Another thing I watched is I ain't seen one fight. They're 1 mile from my house at the bottom of the hill. Hadn't seen one fight. Noticed last week that they were all shorn. The shepherd had sheared all of them. They had brought forth their fruit and he reaped it. They're starting over growing again. I didn't see one of them out there holding up a sign, walking on its hind legs. Shepherd's mean. He cut all my wool off. Oh, I've been watching them. Esther 4. Now I'm going to give you this. The end of verse 16. She told her uncle, "You get all the Jews together. Fast for me. And eat and drink 3 days. And my maiden to fast likewise. So will I go in unto the king. Not according to the law." She's going to risk her life. If you intruded, imposed, invited yourself into that king, cut your head off. This is them ancient Persian kings. But I love the end of verse 16. "If I perish, I perish." Chapter 5, verse 1, "On the third day, put on a royal apparel, stood in the inner court. The king sat upon his royal throne." There's a 5-point sermon in this verse. Y'all are seeing it, ain't you? "It came to pass on the third day." Thank God for resurrection.
Amen.
Thank God we got royal apparel. I can go into the throne room because I've been clothed in his righteousness.
Yes.
She stood in the inner court. I'm glad I got a standing on the inner court. I've got a bold invitation. "The king sat upon his royal throne," thank God, "over against the gate." I'm glad there's a way to come in. And in verse 2, "When the king saw Esther the queen stand in the court, she obtained favor and sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter." Verse 3, I need you to circle this, underline it. "Then the king said to her, 'What wilt thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request?'" Verse 6, king said to Esther at the banquet of wine. There's that banquet, there's that blood. "What is thy petition? It shall be granted." "What is thy request?" Verse 7, "My petition and my request." Verse 8, "If I found favor in the sight of the king, please grant my petition, perform my request." I think I'm seeing 4 times. Petition, request, petition, request, petition, request. That golden scepter. I'm going to tell you a story and I'm going to give an altar call. The reason this has got precious to me. By the way, I'd like to say to y'all tonight, the king's standing there with a golden scepter raised.
Amen.
Thank God you can come and touch the hem of his garment and you can also touch the top of the scepter.
Amen.
She came and touched it. Connected to the king. "What is thy petition?" I'd like to ask you tonight. What is thy request? What is thy petition? What is thy request? There's some brides being switched out. There's an hour happening. The king's got his scepter raised. She was saturated with oil and perfume, fragrance. I'm going to tell you how this thing came to my heart. The Lord spoke to me back the first part of July. It was in June, the end of June. I was in my grandfather's old church down in North Georgia. He never pastored there. That was his childhood church. And then he pastored all them decades, and then at the end of his life in his 80s, he went back to his home church. Little old woman there showed me the last message he ever preached. I went to see my papa on his deathbed, and he was whispering something. Been in the fetal position 3 days. They said he hadn't said anything, and he started murmuring. I got down and hollered in his ear. I drove out of Florida where I was pastoring. I got down and hollered in his ear and said, "Papa, it's Dean, your oldest grandson. I've come to see you." And he started mumbling. I put my ear down. I got down on my knees, that little old bed. He built that house 1948 for $450 when he came out of World War II. He's at Normandy Beach. He was a medic. He had buckets, and he picked up what was left on the beach. The body parts. I leaned down in there, and he was saying this. "He's going to see me through. He's going to see me through. He's going to see me through. Glory." Sometime later, I was in that little old church, and a little old woman come up. "I want to show you, son, the last message your papa preached. This text, Jesus in the Gospels, the storm, the ship, come over to the other side." Amen. You can live with that word, you can die with that word. Amen. I was preaching a revival. Little church, I mean probably 20 people every night. Just 20 people. But very sweet, very sincere. Not too lively at all, but life. A lot of old saints. Had a splendid time just hanging out with them that week, shouting and rejoicing and walking up and down them aisles. One of the Lord's little flocks. And the former pastor's wife, Junior Bryson, was the preacher. Matter of fact, for many years. I think over 50 years. Little old short country man. Had a great testimony. He is a legend, a local legend. They put a life-size portrait of him down at the courthouse, and he's still alive. That's how much that little man of God meant to everybody. Had a high-pitched voice. He'd shout no matter where he saw you. "Well, hallelujah! Well, glory to God!" He was eccentric. First time I ever took Preston into the world. We came home from the hospital, and the first time we dressed up and went to town, run into Junior Bryson, and he shouted all around the stroller. We was at the entrance to the Hamilton Mall. Going to stroll that baby around and let Jennifer walk. And Junior Bryson and his wife was walking down. It's the first time we took him out into the world. My grandpa's old pastor, and he did a dance. Shouted all around him. Went about three times shouting and praying and praising God. He dedicated that baby to the Lord in the mall. What do you think about that? I said, "Son, you're going to have a really mixed up thing going. Your heritage involves old man of God and the mall." Shouted all around him. He died some time ago. His widow still lives. She's about 90. And she's sitting there in that revival. And every night she'd tell me some story about my grandpa. And the last night, they had old praying grounds behind the church. Me and them would go up in the trees, but they wouldn't go together. They all went at the same time, but they had separate places they prayed. And I've heard my whole life that that valley, you couldn't walk down that valley for 10 miles. You'd hear men praying in the woods. That's before America had noise in it. Amen. These old timers know what I'm talking about. You can't hear nothing now. There's too many voices, and there's too many demons and too much noise. You can hear them praying them down that valley. Not just on Sunday. He said he had a little place up there where he'd go pray. And one of them, this is not the story I'm going to tell you, but one of the stories that had been told us. My papa would always come back and tell how the Lord met him up there. He'd tell things. And one old brother said, "Brother John, I want to go pray in your place, see if the Lord will come meet with me. And so they switched places that day, and he come running out of there white, pale, scared. After about 5 minutes, told everybody, said, there's footsteps come up behind me and a hand on my shoulder. Said, and my papa, he said, well, I told you, the Lord meets me up there. And they just went on. It wasn't a big deal to them, you know. Well, she told me. She'd tell me a story every night, and it'd be a long story. It'd be precious. Things I didn't know. Some of them I did. The last night, she said, your grandpa come out of there one time when Frida was sick and had the cancer, my grandmother. And he come down here and told us that the Lord was out there and the king had raised the scepter. And she froze. And that was the story. And she looked at me. She was so blessed and excited about it. That was the end of the story. The king raised the scepter. And she was so excited to tell me that. And I was waiting on the story, but that was the story. Yes. She said, yeah, the king had the scepter raised. And when she said that, you know, some of my personal friends here know I'm in the middle of a year of Jubilee and God's doing things. I'm 50. God told me to have a Jubilee year. I've had a camp meeting 30 straight years, 30 straight summers. And in the summer that I laid it down for a year to let the soil rest, a 90-year-old saint looks at me and says, the king has raised the scepter. Amen. We just stared at each other like 2 minutes. I just looked at it because I didn't want to go nowhere else. I don't know how to tell you all this, but the Lord told me. What is thy petition? What is thy request? I've been telling him. My petitions and my requests, I've been telling him. I'm thinking strong about it because I don't want to be foolish. But I'm being honest. There's prayers for my son. There's prayers for my two daughters. There's prayers for my wife. There's prayers for my nation. There's prayers for my minister. There's prayer. There's prayers for Albania, Uganda, England, Asia. There's prayers. There's some real personal, a couple of them that I couldn't tell nobody. But I think I've got permission to tell y'all tonight. There's a Gentile bride being switched out for a Jewish one. I'd advise y'all not to live for yourself. You'll lose everything. Just go. If you perish, you perish. Yeah. You say, well, what if we go under? Under ain't a bad place. Amen. It's highly overrated by the devil. What if we hit the bottom? He's always there. Amen. The bottom's only scary unless you've never been to it. Yeah. If you've been to the bottom, you found out he was there with goodness and mercy and angels and grace and glory. If I perish, I perish. What if nothing works out? It'd be fine. Think about everything that gets worked in. Amen. I believe I've got permission from heaven. I'll go a step further. I believe I got orders from heaven to be telling the Lord's people this summer. Scepter's raised. Come on in. You're already in. How about reach up and touch the top of it? That was probably just instinctive. That ain't in the laws. If you didn't raise it, you're dead. If he raised it, you had his audience. I think her reaching up and touch was something that was unscripted. Why don't you reach up and reach out tonight? Amen. Would you slip to the piano, sister, and play Amazing Grace? Y'all bow your heads. How about it? I never could get in Exodus 12, Pastor. There's a great cry in Exodus 11 of lost people. And somebody better quit living for themselves and start doing what we can for the salvation of others. That's what Esther did. For the salvation of her people. Why don't you stand if you want to come pray? Come pray tonight. That scepter's raised. What is thy petition? What is thy request? I want everybody to stand. Make it easy to move. What is thy petition? What is thy request? The king has a scepter raised. Play for us, sister. Come and pray.